Welcome to Life Mastery Radio with Todd Allen and Jackie Bailey, the show that dives into the science of higher consciousness with inspiring topics such as abundance, intention, health, manifestation, love, and transformation. Join Todd, Jackie, and their guests of leading authors, speakers, coaches, and entrepreneurs weekly at 10 a.m. Pacific. Learn to live a peaceful life with intentional mastery. It's all right here with stories and messages to support your well-being and most evocative dreams. Now, here's your hosts, Todd and Jackie.
Hey, 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 it's another groovy day, and that's because I make it that way. And it's also groovy, too, because it's Life Mastery Radio Day. Life Mastery is a talk show that brings you great thoughts and ideas for you to use on your very own life mastery journey. Every week, Jackie and I bring you great guests who are on the cutting edge of their own exploration and development, and they're here to share with you their thoughts and ideas to help push you off that edge as well. So stay tuned. We've got a great show today. I think if I was to sum it up, we're talking about success today. And as always, I have my co-host here with me. Hi, Jackie.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, everybody.
I'm trying to change up my wording. So are you catching that?
A little bit.
How are things at the Speak Feed Lead Project?
Well, since we were together last, which was a couple weeks ago, I have been to Los Angeles with some speaking clients of mine. So these are people I've coached to prepare to speak on big stages, one an adult and one a 10-year-old girl. And it was so exciting to watch them on stage at this huge event at the Los Angeles Convention Center and watch them shine and perhaps for the first time really share their message with an international audience. And 10-year-old Uma, she felt like a little celebrity, and she was, because she was the youngest speaker at the event. Wow. And she gave her keynote, could not have done better, and she was exhausted and she said blissful at the end of it both at the same time. And it was very, very sweet. And then she kept saying to me, gosh, you know a lot of people. Girl, you know a lot of people, because I was introducing her to all these big names that she was sharing stages with, and she was having a good time.
That's so very cool. And she's one of your students. And how long has she been under your instruction?
She's been one of my students for about a year.
She started
with us last spring, and she was only with us for a month or two before she started speaking on Summit. She spoke on the Voices of Women Summit last March, and that was her very first summit. And then she spoke after that in 5 different summits, and now she's been at the Los Angeles Convention Center, and she spoke at the Voices of Women Summit again last week, just a few days after she returned from Los Angeles. So she has quite a following now.
Oh, I bet. And you know, with that kind of instruction and that kind of direction, I mean, a 10-year-old young woman standing on a world stage, I mean, you're looking at a future leader of something, because this is what's being grown in her. And you know, it's not something that every kid doesn't have, right, Jackie? I mean, this is in every kid.
Well, it's in every kid, but the sad thing is they don't recognize it in themselves. They don't realize that they have reasons to be heard, right, and that they have messages that are worthy of being heard. And I think that's what our kids are missing, is that inner value and self-worth they don't see in themselves anymore. Maybe they're so academically driven, or they're driven by sports or something like that they don't recognize that their voice is really their superpower. Yep. And that's how they inspire and change people's lives. And so Uma is learning that. And in fact, her message is based on an experience that she had when her family traveled to Zambia, because that's where her mother was raised. And they traveled back there to visit some family. And she started to see that the girls there her age were not in school. They were actually working in shops and doing manual labor. And in questioning why this was happening, she learned that the government doesn't support education for girls. And that was the switch that flipped for her. And she realized, oh my gosh, I need to do what I can to help these girls. And at that time, she was in the midst of the pandemic. So she was in online school and she didn't like it, but she realized that even with that, she had so many blessings more than these
more girls. Opportunity.
Weren't getting any education at all. And so really that's what she talks about. She has designed her keynote to talk about finding your fascination, ditching your doubt, and then cultivating your confidence. And she came up with those herself. I just supported her and helped her to say it more succinctly, but it was all her message. And it's just fabulous to watch her.
Yeah, that is so cool. And if you want to find out more, because I know you have a young one out there that could just blossom. I mean, the return on investment is off the charts, because this will last a young person the rest of their life and form. Do I want to use that word? Form, or at least guide them in the direction that they were meant to choose and that they're and finding their purpose. So Google Jackie Bailey. Just Google Jackie. You'll find where you can sign up for her classes. Yeah. Speakfeedlead.org. Oh my gosh. I am so impressed. And who would have thought, Jackie? This is just mind boggling.
No, it's definitely beyond my wildest dreams. And it's funny that I started thinking small, thinking, well, I'll just teach kids how to do some public speaking. But it wasn't until there was this opportunity to get somebody on a summit. And I went, hey, this is kind of cool. And so now I've got a workshop that's called Speak on a Summit in Less Than a Month. So we have a short workshop for that. We've got Ace the Application. That's for college bound kids that need that personal essay or personal video. Maybe they're going into internships or some summer programs, say at MIT and things like that. We've got Podcasting 101 for teens. And so we've shortened a little bit of our curriculum just to get more opportunities out there for kids to find their voice in whatever way works for them. So we're
there
excited.
You have it.
Sure. Yeah.
Open your window, open their window to the world. Absolutely. You know, a simple course from Jackie Bailey and the speakfeedlead.org project is pretty cool.
And I'll put this out there too. This summer, I'm not going to have camps at my studio here in Seattle, Washington. I'm going to travel to you. So if you've got a group of kids and you want them to be empowered with public speaking, let me know and I will come to you and I will do a program in your location this summer, wherever that is.
There you go.
All the better if it's in the Caribbean.
That's on her dream list.
Somewhere in Polynesia.
That's totally opposite sides of the planet. Oh my gosh, she's got big dreams, visions, and goals. And you know what? As a witness to all of this growth, she'll do it. I just know she will.
Oh yeah, we're making it happen for sure.
I want to remind our listeners that today's show page is at www.lifemasteryradio.com. You can go there and find any links that we talk about with our guest today, and a little bit later on in the week, the replay of this show. I'll load it up into YouTube, put some bookends on it, and you can find the link there so that you can share it with your friends or rewatch it. So check it out. While you're on the webpage, www.lifemasteryradio.com, you can sign up for our newsletter. Jackie creates a newsletter once a week, and it highlights who's been on the show, who's coming on the show, and a blog post about who was just on the show and about the show. It's really cool. She really gleans some insight from what our guests have to share with us.
But that doesn't mean we want you to miss seeing the live show. We still want you to be here and watch us live. But if you do miss it, then the blog is a great way to fill in some open spaces. But we do want you to watch the live
show. Yeah, and tell a friend about it. Okay, Jackie, I think our guest today is your guest, so that means you get the introduction. Take it away, Jackie.
Thank you. I am so delighted to say that I have met Heather and I've talked with her and that she's on our show today as a guest. I'm really excited. So let me introduce you to Dr. Heather Tucker. She's a PhD and she is the founder and CEO of Another Level Living, Inc. Let me repeat that because I think I messed it up. Another Level Living, Inc., a professional training and coaching company which produces powerful transformations for entrepreneurs worldwide. Her clients want to overcome great fear and stand fully in their power and be unshakable so they can master communication and relationships in both business and life with ease and grace. Doesn't that sound like what we all want to do? Dr. Heather is a master biz life harmony trainer, a speaker, and a coach. She guides her clients in achieving success with strategies which support working smarter, stressing less, increasing energy, expanding abundance, and strengthening relationships. She also certifies life coaches. We can talk about that a little bit today, and is the author of The Power of Coaching, Inspiring Untold Stories for Business Growth and Transformation. Dr. Heather's primary areas of expertise include business building, authentic leadership, relationship restoration, and healing trauma, even post-traumatic stress syndrome. So she is a multi-talented person. She's making great inroads in the world and helping people to do the same. So I am delighted today to say we have Dr. Heather Tucker with us. Yay!
Thank you so much, Jackie, for that amazing introduction. I'm so happy to be here with you today.
You know, the most impressive part of the introduction that Jackie didn't mention, though, is you kind of had a troubled background. And I mean, isn't that how we learn how to grow and evolve? But even with that background, you achieved a PhD at the age of 23. Is that correct?
27. Close. 27.
Okay.
If I said 23, I think I'd be a little girl genius. But
that's what I thought when I heard that, but maybe I heard it wrong. So, but still, by 27, you had a PhD. And, you know, talk about success. Maybe you could highlight for us what helped you achieve that goal and overcome, you know, some of the limiting beliefs that maybe were instilled in you as a young adult.
Well, thanks so much for sharing that or asking that, Todd. You know, it's interesting because both my parents are also PhDs. They're EDDs. And one of the things that my parents told me when I was younger is that how important education was. The one thing no one can ever take away from you is what you know. Now, again, that is a little bit of a thriving mindset, right? Because a lot of history of unresolved trauma and significant emotional events and my family lineage, et cetera. But it was really something that I really grasped onto because I recognized that, you know, so there was so much drilling on education. And I became this lifelong learner. I would see all the stuff happening externally around me. And I'm like, man, if I could be able to get my education and just keep going, then maybe I could be a part of the solution to all this stuff that's going on. But what was interesting is that our society, we also base so much on education that we don't recognize that there's a lot more parts of life, right? Not just necessarily academia. You can have a straight A student and there can be so much trauma and misery inside and we wouldn't even know it. And so the reality is I wanted to pursue my PhD because I wasn't ready to go into the workforce just yet. And it was a pre-education. So I'm like, let me go ahead and take advantage of this.
Wow.
And so I landed my dream job at the intelligent technologies researcher for the Army at age 28. And it was wonderful. I got to travel all over the world. But you know, when you get to this part of like the epitome of success, what success looks like externally, you know, everyone's like, oh my gosh, Heather made it. But there was so much like stuff going on internally that I didn't even know. And then you can only sit at this point and see all this misery happening around you for so long. And sometimes we get this nudge for our calling, right? Like, okay, Heather, pay attention to this. And we can either have our blinders on or we can actually be like, what are we really called to do? And so we can either hear the call for our life or we can continue to endure the pain fighting against it. And a lot of times there's a resistance to stepping into what we're called to do. Or maybe this, you mentioned, Todd, limiting beliefs. Maybe like one of mine was, I'm not good enough. Who am I to do this? Like, what can I do about this problem? Like, almost like, God, why did you call me to do this? I would rather just stay here and be cushy. And then it gets louder and louder, that voice. And so what's really beautiful about it is actually when everybody is telling you to go this way. And then you have this inner voice, intuition saying, go that way. It's almost like, who are you going to listen to? All right, we can either stay here in this cushy thing, or we can be able to go and make an impact and do something about this. So that's really what led to a lot of it. You know, so I remember when I left the government and my parents and their education, they were like, what the heck were you doing? It was a permanent six-figure position. You only had 20 more years. And I'm like, I could do so much with those 20 years.
It's so you were actually in the military.
I was a civilian for, yeah. So civilian.
A government employee still.
Government employee, right.
Well, and what was the problem that you started seeing, Heather? What was it that was prompting you to go a different direction?
I'm so glad you asked that. So I would look at management and there was a lot of misery there. And I'm like, am I to aspire to this? But then I would also look in my community and I would see so many things happening. I think the straw that broke the camel's back was the situation that happened with Trayvon Martin. So Trayvon Martin, if you hadn't heard about it, of course, it made nationwide news. He was just walking home and was killed. And the sad reality is that his killer got let go because of the stand. And it was all these riots and everything happening. And all I could think about was, wow, he is the same age as my nephew. That could have really been my nephew. And so I would see that in addition to a lot of people struggling with police brutality and all of these visual discriminations. Like, we cannot control how we were born, where we were born, what we look like, etc. But what I learned in this journey, if there's no enemy within, then the enemy externally can't touch you. You can be able to, we can't control the things that are happening, but we can control how we respond. Yeah. And so I realized, like, what if I could be able to show people how to step into their own empowerment, their own greatness? And then it won't even matter what other people think about them.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So it was interesting because it was the day that George Zimmerman got let off. I'd had the most successful day of my career. Right. And when I come home and I go back to the hotel and I see that he had got let off, the next day I was sitting there, my part was done, and I'm looking around the room and I hear God say clearly, okay, this is not it. You've learned everything you need to learn. It's time to move on. And we can, you know, get to that point where it's like the fear doesn't even matter. You know that it's something that you got to do. And it's just one step at a time. And then you'll be amazed at the impact that we can make.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah, so did you start developing programs then? Or did that take you into a different direction, a different job first?
So my mom told me, she said, Heather, well, what the heck do you want to do now? And I said, I want to help people. And she's like, well, you better get paid for it. And I'm like, well, I don't know how to do that. Not yet, anyway. And so I found coaching. I've actually took a class to become a certified coach. And at the end of that class, the teacher had said, after we'd had this amazing experience, right? We felt like we were given this gold. And we knew that it was going to be like the game changer for our whole life. And here's what she said. She said, only 10% of the people who are taking this class are actually going to go off and do something with it. And at first, everybody's like, no way, that's not true. We just had the most amazing experience. And so I started coaching, and then I discovered NLP, which is actually the game changer when it comes to coaching, how to shift mindsets, how to shift unwanted behaviors, how to shift limiting beliefs. And then I knew when she had said that I was going to be one of those 10%. So fast forward a couple years later, I started certifying coaches and I started seeing exactly what she meant. It's almost like as soon as I said, okay, I'm going to do this coaching thing, all of the battles came out of nowhere. It's like, really, you're going to do this? Okay, here, how are you going to handle this obstacle? How are you going to handle this challenge? Like, okay, how about this one? And a lot of times people give up right before the goal and we just have to keep going. So I realized, wow, all these challenges and obstacles are actually blessings in disguise. Like, this is going to be an amazing testimony on the other side of this. But now I recognize what 90% of those coaches were facing. So I decided, after I was certifying for a different company, to create my own certification. And the difference, I call it life harmony coaching, how to be able to create peace on all sides. Because a lot of times what was happening is that there's something from an area of life, like we can focus on what we're good at, but we tend to neglect the things that we're not good at. And those are the things that are can be little and become big mountains when we're on our calling. And the core of that is emotional intelligence. We can't control the things that are happening, but we can control how we respond to them. And that's where our greatest power is. So when I started certifying coaches in that arena, we had a much higher success rate. I can confidently say you got about 70 to 80% of the coaches who came through our program doing something with it. Not only in if they're in their business, but also in their organizations, if they're still working, and especially in their families. Especially there's, it seems like there's so many attacks right now on our families and on our stabilities and our relationships. Yeah. And so when someone understands all about them and what's going on, then they can be able to better hold the space for other people and not be so charged by it.
That's really inspiring, because I think that that mindset is so important, because that's what either is going to help us to achieve, or it's going to convince us we don't have anything important to do, right? And so if you can help people with that, that really is the key. Do you have situations where you've helped a client to see a different perspective than what they did before?
Oh, totally, totally. I mean, so just to give you one example, I have several testimonials. Well, one of my favorite ones was about this mom of four, and she had a blended family, and there was a lot of difficulty, health challenges, and uncertainty. She would spend a lot of time in bed. There was a lot of significant emotional events. So one of the things that we talk about and we support in healing the past so we can live more in the present, and that naturally expands our vision for the future. So she worked with me for 6 weeks, 1 hour, 6 weeks. And her testimonial to me was that she was able to come off of not one, but all three of her behavioral modification medicines, as she was misdiagnosed as bipolar after being in therapy for 20 years. And that she's also communicated the best that she had ever had in her entire life without emotional triggers. It's like she was able to get her freedom back. And then I remember meeting her husband like maybe a year later. He's like, thank you so much. And it didn't just impact her, but it impacted how the whole family was. And she became a trauma coach, and she works with kids now. And it's just so beautiful to be able to see the ripple and the wave that happens. And not just with that person, but everyone else that they touch. You know, so a lot of times they talk about how we're in this mental health crisis. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of it is also emotional health issues. So mental and emotional wellness is our thoughts and our feelings. And if people could understand, you know, if we could better understand how our mind works, what's going on, what are leading to all the unwanted behaviors, all the uncertainties, all the limitations, all the doubts. You know, for me, I know the cool thing about our programs is when there's a healed heart and a renewed mind and is working on one accord, we literally become unstoppable. Mm. And we can be able to influence just with our presence alone, not with having to tell people how to do, just be the example.
Yeah.
And that's anybody, right, Heather? I mean, anybody can step into this and begin to learn a different way and learn not to listen to their mind. Maybe you can expand on that a little bit.
Oh my gosh, that's so good. So, you know, I would tell my students, like, the bigger the battles that you go through, sometimes the bigger your calling is, right? Like, a lot of times people are like, why me? And then they recognize as they're doing this work, oh, why not me? You know, there's only two things that are needed in order to be a successful coach: the desire to help others and a willingness to grow. A lot of times we have to think that everything has to be perfect. So a lot of times people suffer with perfectionism, and that's just poverty and procrastination and leads to a whole bunch of paralysis. We only need to be one step ahead of the people that we support. You know, the reason why I love coaching so much is because it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, you know, what has happened. there's still a hope and a future for you to be able to be that light and impact on other people.
Yeah.
And if they've gone through these things or you've gone through these things, then you can be able to support other people in going through them as well. And it's also really cool because it reminds me or lets me know that whatever we want to achieve, whatever like we're called to have, is so possible to be able to do that. We don't have to go the battle alone. I can't tell you how many times I hear people saying, I feel unappreciated, unsupported, unvalued, unloved.
Validation. Validated.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, what if you could feel totally loved, appreciated, valued, and supported consistently 24/7 when you actually recognize and own your greatness, then you know that and you can be that. Yeah. And then it's easy for other people to see it too.
Yeah. I always like to say the person that benefits the most from being a life coach is the coach themselves, right? But then they get to discover what's important to them and what their purpose is. And 9 times out of 10, they discover, well, being in service of others is what really makes my heart tick.
Well, and what happens though, so this is one of the things that I've also seen. A lot of times we can have such a big desire to help others that we deplete ourselves.
Well, that's true.
Right. And so it used to be, this is so funny and so good, but it used to be where I was like 90% for other people and then only like 5 and 10% for myself. And the best way that I learned to be able to do is to switch that to be 95% for me. And then everything else I give, that 5% to other people, feels like 100% to them.
Exactly.
And then I'm never depleted. I can continue. And then it's that ease and grace and flow of operating. We can get so caught up in the doing, like hoping that we'll be able to have, and then eventually we'll be able to be. But it's actually quite opposite. You know, it all starts from our being that makes it much more effortless to do. And then the having is just a natural product, byproduct of it.
Yeah, that is really an important point, because there's, you know, it's commendable that we want to help people as you do. But that doesn't mean we have to drive ourselves into the ground to do it. Because I know for me, I want to be able to give kids voice. But what I find is that if I'm giving and giving and giving and even doing things for free to help kids, then they don't have the skin in the game they need. They don't follow through. And now I find myself getting resentful, which doesn't do me any good for the next client I need to work with, because I go into it with feelings of, you know, I'm trying so hard and I'm not getting anything in return. And so I love your philosophy, Heather, in that do 95% for you, because that is your mission, right? If you can live consistent and congruent with your mission and keep yourself healthy, you're going to be able to give more, even though you might feel like at the end of the day, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, but it's probably because you were productive in the ways that you dealt with people rather than exhausted because you let too much of yourself be drained. So right. I think that's an important philosophy. And so is that what you teach your clients? Is that more than just an epiphany you've had, but it's something that you actually teach your clients?
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, at the end of the day, and that's what we talk about, and the emotional intelligence part, like emotions are energy in motion, right? So it's all about energy. It's all about the energy that we are, the energy that we carry. We cannot pour out from an empty cup. We cannot give what we don't have. And the more that we're able to receive, I hear a lot about, oh, I want to give, but then sometimes we don't give ourselves permission to receive. Yeah. And it's actually the more that we can receive and enjoy that receiving, it's like air. You know, we breathe in and we breathe out, and giving and receiving is that cyclic process. So if we just do one of them, then we won't last that long.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And we might actually be in our process of giving, we might actually be blocking the ability to receive, right? And because we are attracting what we're giving. And so if all we're giving, all we do is we attract more tiredness. We attract less rather than lack, than we attract lack rather than abundance, because we're depleting ourselves. And so that's the energy that we're living in, right? So if we are more open to the reception aspect of energy, that's what we're going to attract more of, which we'll be able to then give more of. So,
well, I'm so glad that you asked that, because it's, or that you mentioned that, because that's right. What our business, or even if you're living your career, like everything is an, or even relationships, everything is an extension of all that we are. Everything is filtered through our mind. So if we're only focusing on lack, then that's all you're going to experience. If you're only focusing on what's wrong, that's all you're going to experience. Mm-hmm. Right. Like if you focus on the calm, if you focus on what's going right, if you focus on the abundance of what's possible and a vision, you know, a lot of times the things that happen, we tend to lose heart. We tend to give up hope. We tend to just feel defeated. And this is actually quite common. This is actually quite normal, because a lot of times people would think, well, what's wrong with me? And I'm like, oh my gosh, you have no idea how common this is. You're not alone. And that's one of the reasons why having someone to be able to support you on the journey to achieving your goals and dreams, that just makes all the difference, because then you totally know that you're not alone. If anything comes up, obstacles or challenges or roadblocks or difficulties, then you're able to talk it out. Like, a lot of the problems that we have, we create in our own mind. You know, but we can change that. We can totally change that. Rewiring our mind for total success is possible, and is what I live and what I know. And what does that do for not just ourselves, but everyone else who is connected to us? Yeah. Everyone else that we're around.
99% of my problems are created in my mind, and I can't even put them in a paper bag to throw them away.
Exactly. Or you could, one of the cool tips, I always like to leave an awesome tip for people when I do these, are you can write them out. You know, you can write them out. Like, that's one of the activities I usually give my students. Okay, what are all the mind monkeys that are going on about how you feel about yourself? How you feel? Write it all out. Write it all out, get them all out, and then burn the paper. Don't tear it up. Burn it, and then watch it burn, and then give it permission to be able to release inside.
Right. And watch those ashes float up into the sky and release them in more ways than one, right?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, our process here is to lean into what's going on, so that we can really let go of what we need to let go of in order to fully leap forward. And everyone is called for prosperity. Everyone is called for abundance. Everyone is called for greatness. And Jackie, I love what you shared about the story that your student had shared to the world. Because what are those, for those of you who are listening, what are those significant emotional events that you're like, I don't even know how I did it, or it gave you this aha moment or something like that? Well, there's someone in the world that is going through maybe the exact same thing and similar thing, and they may not even have the strength or to be able to get through it. But what if you could share your message and all of a sudden they connect to it and you give them hope just by expressing what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the importance of stories, right? We telling our stories, we may not know how we affect another person, but it's the inspiration from that story that gives them hope. And lifts them up. And when we share those, you know, we share them those openly, and we might not realize what it is going to do or how it's going to affect another person, but that's, it does.
Yeah.
And having faith and hope in that is a big part of purpose, right, Heather? Isn't that part of us moving forward is faith and hope?
Oh, so true. So true. You see my book back here, The Voice of Hope. But it is about hope. The one thing I do want to share about the story part, though. So what happens sometimes is when we share our story and there's still pain and there's still like heaviness there, we're sharing our wounds, our scabs, and not our scars. Our scars are healed, you know, and sometimes we can relive the trauma as we're, it's depending on how heavy the story is. So one of the things that I work with clients is on how to get peace with your story, how to heal it, make it light so you can be able to share it from this place of total empowerment, where when you share it, it doesn't have this thing where you're reliving it again as if it's still fresh.
Wow. Yeah.
Doesn't hold power over you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so that's like sort of the other side of stories, is that it's these experiences we have, like Uma had, my student in Zambia, and you had with Trayvon Martin. Those are the experiences that then become part of the story of our purpose. But we can also put ourselves in these stories that we talk ourselves into that aren't necessarily true, like I never have success, or nobody wants to hear what I have to say, or, you know, that kind of thing. Those are the stories that we also tell that are probably not true. And so through your training, I'm, as you mentioned, NLP, I'm certain that you help people realize, you know, what you're telling, that statement that you're telling yourself, is the story you've created. And it's not a real story. It's just something that's holding you back, instead of the story that prompted you to move forward, right? Those are the kinds of stories that we want to highlight on. And so when we're talking about stories, Heather, you've got three books back behind you there. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what those are about, what the purpose in writing those messages in those books?
Sure. So actually, I'm going to turn this over because there's one more.
Oh, there's four. Oh, my God. Yeah,
there's more behind it. But I'll start with the purple one. The purple one is called Destiny Walkers. And this is actually the first book collaboration. So I did a lot of work when I was in the like a lot of journal articles and a lot of publications on technology and stuff like that. But then I was like, okay, this is a whole new ballgame. I'm going from IT to coaching. And what does that entail? So this one, Destiny Walkers, a friend of mine had reached out to me, said, Heather, I'm doing this book collaboration. And I want you to be a part of it. I feel like your story is just something that's so amazing on how to be able to walk into your destiny and be purpose-driven. So I joined that book collaboration, and it was so amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And it was great to be able to collaborate with so many other people who are living that destiny-driven life and showing other people how to do it. Well, it actually prompted me and led me to do my own book collaboration, and the one called The Voice of Hope. That was the first one that I did. Now, this was a story that really, really took a lot of heaviness and expression on how to actually write this. So that book collaboration is on caregiving. So inspiring untold stories for caregivers by caregivers. Mm-hmm. There's 12 authors all together. Four were caring for their elderly parents, four were caring for their children with special needs, and four were caring for their spouses. And I was in that one. So I'm married to a Purple Heart Marine Corps veteran. He did two tours in Iraq and Afghanistan and came back with post-traumatic stress. Hence was why I do a lot of the work. I mean, because anyone who knows people who have post-traumatic stress, a little bit of bipolar and trauma and stuff, it can be so much energy and emotion and stuff down, and they don't know how to express it. Well, he had several Widowmaker heart attacks. He almost died. He's only like 42. Three times. So as I was building my business, then this would happen. And like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And when we get into this caregiver role, we end up caring so much more about the person and their well-being that we actually neglect our own. And then this becomes this enabling pattern. So in that book, we were talking about how caregiving, we can see it as this burden or we can see it as a blessing. What is a blessing in disguise? And after that book, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be a caregiver. I don't want to enable. I want to inspire and empower. So yeah. As this journey, instead of being able to, that's what actually led to recognizing that I need to be able to be as strong as I can. So therefore that can naturally motivate him to take charge of his life again.
Yeah.
And so it led to this book here, Her War 2. That was another book collaboration that a friend of mine reached out to me about. There's some military spouses in it talking about their story. So I had shared this story. The title of it was called Married to the Military. And it wasn't that I did a lot of work with the military. So I was a civilian for about 5-6 years. It all blurs together. As an intelligent technologies researcher for the Army, but I also interacted with hundreds of thousands of service members when I was doing that position, I would do the periodic health assessments where I go off on the weekend and I'll do their height, their weight, their blood pressure, their vision. And I was always interacting with them. And now a lot of people in the service, they come into the service because they want to be able to help other people, but they were also having the same difficulty. I would see so much high blood pressure, so many Red Bulls, so many relationship issues, so many difficulties, right?
Yeah.
And then during the pandemic, you know, I like one of the things that we have in our society right now, we have about 25 to 30 veterans per day committing suicide. Like, let me just repeat that, 25 to 30 veterans per day committing suicide. And I know that my husband has struggled with that as well. And I was like, you know, what can I do to be able to support veterans, upcoming veterans transition and out the military, so therefore they can be able to step into their purpose? A lot of it has to do with there was so much purpose that they had, and that's how they identified themselves. So when they were out of the military, then everything was just foreign, totally foreign. Yeah. So I work with service members, helping them figure out what the next path is, way forward after they get out, right? Helping them figure out what's going to be an ideal job for them, whether they want to do entrepreneurship, how to get their business, their resumes together, how to get their interview skills and stuff like that going on. And I would always put this seed about, regardless of what you do, now you have the opportunity to do something that you're passionate about. And that's going to be what's going to be the most important. So therefore, you don't like go off on all those people around you who love you and don't deserve it. My favorite one, though, so all of them have been great, but the one that has been the most powerful one is this Power of Coaching book. So the Power of Coaching one, I of course, you know, you get this calling and you resist it a little bit, but the message was, you need to do a book about coaching. You need to be able to do a book about coaching, telling people that it's a possible avenue for them to be able to achieve anything that they desire to achieve in their life. So I put that collaboration together with about 12 other coaches. And we talked about, so coaching, which is really cool, is that no coach is alike. Like, this is like the one industry that I know that there's no competition. There's only co-opetition. There's collaboration. There's working together, because every single, you know, one of the things I used to hear was, Dr. Heather, there's so many coaches out there. And I'm like, stop whining. There is no coach like you. That's with you. The same knowledge, skills, experiences, backgrounds, your own unique process on what you lead them through. And so coming together, be able to express that. That was a powerful, powerful book that we launched last year. And one of the questions that I had shared that I just want to highlight. So we asked each of the coaches about 10 questions. And one of the questions that I asked them was, if someone was fearful of coaching, what will you tell them? So a lot of people, I won't say a lot of people, if they hear the word help, it's a trigger word for them. Help. I don't need no help. What are you talking about, right? You tell them the word support, it's a little bit easier. But then there's this fear of even being able to change. An unconscious mind is resistant to change. It wants everything to stay the same. But the reality is every single thing changes. Right. So you can see how this creates a lot of chaos. Yeah. And underneath all of this resistance, what I learned is fear. Right. And so fear can stand for many things, and it can stand for forget everything and run. This is too hard. Let me run away. Right. That's one. We're out. Right. Yeah. False evidence appearing real. Sometimes, you know, my daughter, she's like, mommy is a monster. I was like, okay, let's pray and let it go away. Right. It's not that serious. And, or what if we could switch it to, like, you know, what if we could actually be able to lean in and let go of the fear? So therefore fear and redefine it. So therefore fear stands for face everything and rise, mm-hmm. so that we can really feel everything and relax. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different shift, a whole different way. So if something happens, I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
As compared to, oh my gosh, what's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, I think she froze. Nope. She's
not here.
Okay.
I just paused.
Well, with fear too, we talked a little bit about that, and that's letting go. And maybe you could talk to us a little bit about detaching, right? Because we move forward and we have these attachments, and it has to be exactly like this. Mm. And we've got to get out of that mindset and detach from the outcome and look for the opportunity.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. You know, a lot of times we hold on to the outcome of what it should be like so tight that we actually prevent it from even being able to be like that. You know, and I get it, it's normal. Like, you get this vision, you're like, it's got to be exactly this way. But one of the things that I've learned is, like, if you want to hear God laugh, you tell him your plan and see how that goes. Like, we're thinking, oh, I got the idea the business is going to be this exponential growth. There's no blocks in the way. But then there's hills, there's valleys, there's circles, there's loops backs. And then, you know, you eventually get there.
Don't forget about the squirrel.
Oh, the squirrel. Yes, controlling the objects. The shiny object syndrome. It's so true. Like, thinking that, oh my gosh, I see the squirrel. The squirrel is going to fix everything. Let me invest in it. And then it's like, you totally get distracted. It actually creates more overwhelm, mm-hmm. right? So how to be able to control the squirrels and stay focused. But this part about detachment is something that's so powerful, because a lot of times we want to change other people. We want to change situations. We want to change circumstances. And it reminds me of this story that I would share with my students about this man who wanted to go and change the world. And he got frustrated because the world wasn't changing. And then he decided, oh, let me change my community. And then he got frustrated because the community wasn't changing. And he's like, well, let me go ahead and just change my family. And then he got really pissed off because the family wasn't changing. And it wasn't until he was on his deathbed that he realized, if I had just changed myself, everything would have changed around me. You know, so this part about trying to hold on to the outcome, trying to hold on to what things are going to look like, sound like, and feel like, you know, this is where we can get caught up in overthinking. And one of the things that I share is, it should be a lot less thinking and a lot more trusting. More trusting and less thinking, because the biggest thing is, we don't know what the future is going to be. We don't know. We know what our past have been, but a lot of times if we keep doing the same thing, we're going to get the same results. So if you want to change it, step into the trusting. Change, wonder, what if I did this? And then that's where that discipline comes in. You know, so I have this really great acronym for the word coach that I want to share with you. They'll kind of highlight this.
Yeah.
So the C, the first C, it stands for clarity and calm. Mm. You know, like, what happens is, a lot of times we're operating with this overwhelm, with this confusion, with this stress. Like, we've normalized stress as a part of our society. Like, if we're not stressed, then we're not normal. Oh, that's the opposite. That's one of the reasons why my sign says, keep calm and live aloha. Mm. There can be chaos happening around you, but if you're the calm and you have that clarity, then eventually the whole chaos will become calm, because it's like a radiation of you.
And the overwhelm goes away as well. But, you know, I see that so prevalent in our society today. People are so overwhelmed, and there's so much information in it. You know, I wanted to get into that, but go ahead and finish your acronym with the coach.
Okay. Well, and let me just chime in on that part that you were saying about the overwhelm. You know, when another reason why I left the Army was that I was also an adjunct professor, and I was teaching compute IT at the local community college.
Wow.
And my students would send me an email, and I could feel the stress in my email. I'm like, you are 18, 19 years old. What the heck are you stressing about? Right? I'm like, oh, there has to be a better way. Because that just totally depletes our health, and that's just not good. Okay, so O is overcome all obstacles and challenges. There lies one of the beauties about having a coach keeping you accountable, because there's going to be stuff that comes up. Like I mentioned before, as soon as I said I'm a life coach, all this craziness happens. Ah, right? And then if I didn't have, you know, I would always say, if you want to be a successful coach, it's important to be coached, because who's going to be that stable rock for you to go to?
Right.
You know, and help you break through from the obstacles. Because a lot of times the obstacles, the challenges, if we weren't on purpose, we wouldn't experience challenges. right? If there was some, if we were just going through life and we weren't really a threat to amazing greatness, then we probably wouldn't have all these challenges. But if we're on this path and there's some stuff that's coming up, it's almost like count it all joy, celebrate it, because you know that just means that you're on purpose. And as you break free from it, then you can be able to see more of the freedom on the other side. Mm-hmm. The A stands for accountability and awareness. So the unconscious mind, the conscious mind, which is like 10% of your brain, will consciously set a goal. I want to do this year. So that's why people have these resolutions. And then by month 3, March, then all of a sudden it's like by the wayside. We're like, okay, we'll try again next New Year's.
Yeah.
Well, if you have accountability and you have this awareness of what's coming up, then you can be able to break free and continue on the achievement towards that goal. Accountability is one of the biggest things about coaching, because you know that there's going to be somebody holding you accountable. It creates that discipline. It creates that continuation to the process of total success.
Yeah.
And then the second C stands for confidence and consistency. So I hear that a lot. Like, I don't know if I'm confident in my stuff. Like, we think that we have to have everything perfect. Well, if you step into the confidence that you already have and you own that, then it's like, wow, you're like this shining beam of light where people will just naturally come to you, as compared to, you know, you having to go chase. And the consistency, a lot of times we'll do stuff and we become inconsistent. Well, there lies the beauty of coaching, because it can help someone help you be able to stay consistent. And yeah. Then what happens with consistency, it becomes natural. And that way it becomes automated. Right. Think about driving, y'all. Like, okay, when you first started driving, hands on 10 and 2, checking the mirrors, maybe there's a little fear of like moving. And now what do? You just get in the car and go. That can be anything that we want to achieve in life. I used to hate videos or hate these like being on camera. And I'm like, I don't want to be seen. And I'm like, I want to be seen. Oh, look at me. Yes. You know, there's this total, because that consistency in doing something makes it unconscious and makes it natural. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is there. I love them all. But this one, the H stands for harmony on all sides. Mm-hmm. Who says that we can't have it all? We can totally have it all. We can have harmony and peace and happiness and joy on all sides of life.
Yeah. I remember the old mantra was balance at home and career. Balance with home and career. But you can't actually balance those things. You just have to have harmony in all of them at the same time, right?
Exactly. Because the priorities are going to shift.
Yeah.
What happens if the kids get sick? And all of us, and then some people will just freak out because it's like, no, this is not according to plan. So it's like letting go of the plan. Oh, okay, the kids are getting sick. Okay, cool. We can have them stay home. We can figure out how to pivot. That is that part about how do we pivot? You know, that balance, it means that, like you said, things are equal. Things are forced. You're trying to force it to be the same, but it's never the same.
You can't be. Yeah. So Heather, who are the people then that need you? What are the types of clients that you see? And last of all, how can they get a hold of you if they do want to contact you?
So I love working with entrepreneurs. I love working with people who desire to be in business, whether they're seasoned, especially coaches, those who want to level up as a coach or become coach. I even recommend that entrepreneurs think about being a coach as well, so they can be able to facilitate deeper level connection and transformations with their client. You give them what they need and what they want at the same time. It actually allows us to break free from any blind spots that we can't see. For example, we may give our clients some templates or something to fill out, and then they may never fill it out. But what's underneath? What prevented them from doing it in the first place, and helping them break free from there? And also, one of the things that I'm doing more now is working with corporations and organizations to be able to create harmony within the team. Because one of the things that a lot of people, we never know what people are going through. We never know what people are going through. And a lot of times there's just this miscommunication. I see so much miscommunication. And if there can be this harmony of understanding, okay, not only really understanding what people are going through, but really being able to figure out how to better communicate so therefore that person receives it in a positive way. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we can say something without any intention of doing harm, and then how they take it in can be harmful.
Right.
So what I would say is check out our website, anotherlevelliving.com. The trainings we offer 2 times a year, our Life Harmony Coach Emotional Intelligence Certification Training and our Communication Mind Mastery NLP Practitioner Certification Training are there. We run them a couple of times a year. If you want to taste and see us, definitely consider coming to our Biz Life Harmony Retreat. We actually run that once or twice a year. It's about that, supporting that, creating that peace on all sides and what's really going on and taking the pressure off. Because, you know, we all need it. We all really do need it. And I know that for those who are called for amazing things, yeah, there are going to be some battles. There's going to be a lot of battles that can happen even in our personal life. And I think those are the ones I'm really good at, the loss of loved ones, difficulty relationships, yeah, right? Yeah. We practice a lot of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to get sick. Right. And that just totally, we want to get on the better side of bitter. And then that way we can really be able to move forward. So that's what I would recommend. Did I answer all of your questions, Jackie?
You did. You did it marvelously. But I do have one more. Where's the retreat?
I was just going to say, don't tell her it's in Hawaii.
I am so wanting to do it live. You have no idea.
Oh, it's still online.
This live event, but it's actually virtual. It's coming up in a couple months. We're putting all the pieces together. We did it one time virtually last year, and I was like, oh, this is really what's needed. So we're amping up this year to be able to do that. And it is virtual, so that way you can be all anywhere in the world and come.
Well, we could go to Hawaii and just hang out with Heather and have our own retreat.
We could just do it there.
I know. Oh, I love Hawaii. I do. I go there a couple times a year. I won't be there again until probably 2024, 2025. But it is the place to go. So that's okay. We'll bring the experience virtually. We'll bring the aloha.
My life coach trainer, I've been through 2 life coach training programs, and the retreat, you know, you always have a retreat at the end of your training. And it was in Hawaii. It was on Maui. That was with Alan Cohen. I don't know if you know who Alan Cohen is.
I don't know who that is. But that's so great. Yeah. I mean, I'm telling you, if I could, I would take people to the Big Island as much as possible. I will share that I don't know if you remember the big volcano thing that happened, I guess back in 2018. It was like the largest one in like 50 years. Well, I had literally just left the island the day before. And I was at the volcano like 3 days before we left. So it was like, what in the world? And it's funny because as I was meditating at the volcano, the message that I got at that time was be the calm, be the peace in the midst of the chaos. And then all of a sudden it blew. But it's so hilarious. Then the part that was funny was because they had another volcano eruption, I think last year. And it was like the day after I left too. I'm like, oh.
Serious energy going on there, girl.
I know. It was just telling me.
Goodness, ladies, that's about all we have time for today. Heather, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing your great thoughts and ideas. I hope you'll come back because I think there's a lot more that we could talk about.
Oh, I would love to be back. I think I appreciate you so much for having me today, Todd and Jackie. This was absolutely amazing. I hope it helped everyone as well. And I'm definitely happy to be here to come back again. This is so awesome.
And it's well worth it just to gaze upon your glowing face in the computer screen because you're just a glow. And you can tell that you're, you know, it's just high energy level and you're happy and groovy, feeling groovy, right?
Totally
feeling
groovy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's good. Thank you, Heather.
That's about all we have time for today. Thanks, Jackie. Any takeaways, Jackie? You look like you had a blast.
Lots of them. As you say, Heather is just, she's got this energy that exudes from her. And so I know that she's making some great.
I think we need to go to Hawaii and just hang out with her.
Absolutely.
That's about all we have time for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. My biggest hope is that you'll tell somebody about the show. Go check out our website. All of the links that we talked about today are right there with our guest today, Heather. She was amazing. Lastly, please, please, please make it a great day, because it's all about choice. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in to Life Mastery Radio. Join Todd Allen and Jackie Bailey and their guests of leading authors, speakers, coaches, and entrepreneurs weekly at 10 a.m. Pacific. Learn to live a peaceful life with intentional mastery through stories and messages to support your well-being and most evocative dreams. Visit their website, www.lifemasteryradio.com. Join their mailing list and be notified about upcoming guests. That's lifemasteryradio.com.